Hello, Carl. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing fine.
Where am I? Where are you calling from, Carl, at the moment?
I'm currently based in Belgrade, in Serbia. Lovely part of the world. And if you want some kind of reference as to what the mentality is like, their favorite, I mean, anybody, let's say over 30, their favorite TV series is Only Fools and Horses. And they literally, I mean, they, you know, if you start talking about, like, I tell them my dad was born in Peckham, they're like, no kidding, that's incredible. You know, it's just, they're over the moon for Only Fools and Horses.
Well, aren't we all? That's amazing. It's a bit like going to Thailand in like the early noughties. It's just like everywhere, Only Fools and Horses, and then like Friends and stuff like that. So you've always got something to have a conversation with somebody about.
I've got like all the taxi drivers. I you know, I don't, before I had to sort of follow the football results when I was in Swansea just to have something to say to the taxi driver. Now I'm safe forever. I just say my dad's born in Peckham and I like Only Fools and Horses, and I know what the result will be.
That's awesome. So you cut your teeth in Swansea, didn't you? You did a lot of amateur boxing in Swansea. What's it like, the boxing scene in Belgrade in comparison?
Well, I, you know, my boxing, you know, I've been boxing for ages now, on and off. So the first time, I'll just give you like a little historic. It's not that long, don't worry. The first time I set foot in a boxing club was in Paris. I was like 19 years old. And the guy taught me how to step, you know, like step forward, which leg to do first. Mm-hmm. And then he left me in front of the mirror for like an hour. And plus I was living in the suburbs. So I was like 45 minutes there, 45 minutes back. And I very quickly lost, you know, grip with that. So then the second time I still had boxing in my mind and I wasn't really attracted to any other form of boxing. This was way back before chess boxing. Well, way back before chess boxing existed. No, because it, anyway, let's not get sidetracked.
So what year was this then? What year was this?
So this was 1990. So this is year 2000. This is year two, about okay. Around 2000. And then I was in LA in 2003, 2004. And well, for those who don't know the story, like I was living out of my car, living in my car and hustling chess. So that's why I put the hustler in my name. There was a story linked to it. And I've dropped that now. I think I'm just going with Carl Ouch. But the story link was I was sleeping in my car in LA, and I would go down to Skid Row and I would bet 50 cent a game with all comers. And I was earning a pretty good living. Well, you know, decent enough survival. And then.
So are you telling me that Skid Row is an actual place? I had no idea.
Skid Row is next to the financial district of LA. And it's like it's like Calcutta, but everybody's on crack. It's pretty crazy. And inside of that, so if you go through hell, then there's a tiny little square. We can't really call it a park because it's all concrete up. It's a tiny little square, and they play chess in there. And you have the crack addicts, you have the crack dealers, you have you know, all types of dudes on the marge of society, I just got there and they took a liking to me. Because obviously my chess level, and they were just like, what the hell, you know, what the hell is this kid doing here? And I would do that. And then my mom sent me some money because she was obviously a bit worried at this stage. And for a friend who was coming to LA, and I bought some chess sets and some garden furniture. And I set up my own simultaneous thing in on Venice Beach. So I was doing that. And then I was earning pretty good dosh. And all that to say that I was taking my shower at the gym. And at some point thought, oh, hang on, the boxing gym is actually closer. Let's have a little bit of a change. You know, I was getting a bit bulky. And I thought, yeah, I'll try boxing again. So that didn't last long because, you know, what that whatever that story was coming to, that kind of went a bit berserk, and I went home. And so maybe I did two extra months or three extra months. And by this time, I could kind of skip. And I got in the ring once, and a guy punched me, and I immediately had a bloody nose. So
what time is this, year is this then? You've got to get back into boxing.
That's 2004. That's 2004, that tiny little two-month period. And then chess boxing comes along. I'm living in Paris. And so it must be like 2008 when I send a mail to Ipe. And he's like, yeah, cool. Well, you know, contact the guys in London and do something. And but I didn't really feel ready. And then one day he needed me because he was doing an art performance sort of thing. And it was in an art gallery. It wasn't on a ring or anything. And he said, oh, can you do it? And I was like, okay, it's now or never. It's not even it wasn't even like what, London chess boxing would consider an exhibition match. It really was like, let's just play fight and play chess between boxing rounds. And a lot of people came back to me and said, oh, that's awesome. And I was like, no, it's terrible. Like the people on YouTube were actually, because there was a music theme behind the video and everybody on the video was just asking, where can I find this music? The video sucks, but the music is cool. So I was like, oh, damn, you know, but I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't want to beat myself up too much. I'd never sparred in my life, really. You know, I never had a proper sparring session. So that was 2009. And then I was like, okay, let's take this a little bit more seriously. And then I was going regularly to Clichy, which is a good boxing club in the Paris suburbs. So then I was starting to get a little bit more, but still it was, I don't even consider it amateur. I was like a leisure boxer with, like friendly sparring with amateurs, small-time amateurs. So it was very progressive. I really did not jump in the deep end. I went slowly. And when I got to, basically the first fight I had, so that was with Tim in 2013, September, I believe, or October. I was kind of homeless at that point. Not homeless, but I was between homes. And I had to go and see my mum in Swansea. And I was passing by London and I was thinking, well, you know, what the hell? You know, let's try this. And I just needed an excuse to get back into shape. So I accepted the fight and we did the exhibition fight with Tim. And then he said, oh,
the blue hippo. Was this when Tim was out of shape and he wore that blue vest?
Remember? He wore that blue vest. And a mate of mine.
I remember because he thought, well, I'm out of shape. I'm going to have to wear a vest, but I need to own this. If I'm going to do it, I need to own it. So he sort of went on stage and thought, the only way I can do this is to basically own it and just come up with a funny name that pokes fun at myself. And so like he got the microphone. And he's like, tonight I'm fighting as the hippo, expecting everyone to find it hilarious, and you could hear a pin drop. There was just nothing. There was no reaction to the crowd at all. And then he had to go on, and I think, yeah, I seem to remember you beat him quite easily, which is, there's no shame in that.
Well, actually, quite easily would be, no. I mean, but is that where the hippo comes from then?
That's where the hippo comes from.
I did not know that. I thought that was his long-term, But no, in the boxing, I did much better than I thought, but it was very awkward on all accounts. First of all, the chess, I was kind of, you know, with the nerves, and Tim was obviously much used to being relaxed and he didn't have any ego in this fight. You know, he was just playing them. He was just making a show because he's the promoter. And he played a decent game of chess and I got mixed up at some point with the stress and all. So I was seeing my you know, the seconds ticking off the clock, and I was like, shit, I'm going to lose this. And luckily, I found, I saw that it wasn't losing, and I saw that there was a trap, and he kind of fell in it, and I was lucky. The boxing, I did great, but the problem was he was in exhibition mode, and I believed it was a real fight. So at some point, like the third boxing round or something, I was starting to realize, oh, hang on, he's actually kind of maybe holding back here. And so I got a bit of a guilty conscience. And at the end of it, I was like, well, I won and I feel good, but, you know, it's like it wasn't the real thing. It's like, you know, so I accepted a fight against James Pope, and then that comes to your question about Welsh boxing.
Yeah, because I remember
the question was about
you were training for that. You looked, you were in real shape then. You'd bulked up a bit and slimmed down, and you'd been training in Swansea a lot. And I think you were worried about his boxing, weren't you?
I was. Everybody was telling me. I mean, you guys, you know. I mean, I'm thinking Matt Reed, Tim. You know, well, later on Zena. You guys do a great job of hyping things up. Like, the dude is so fit. You know, like he's because I'm on the chess side. They kind of have to believe the show is going to be. You know, it's kind of. Everybody has their skill set. So they hyped up the whole fitness, you know, the CrossFit. And he is. I mean, James Pope is a powerhouse of, I mean, he's got energy in him. That's there's no denying it. So I was doing hill sprints like every other morning. I was like, I'm going to take this seriously. And it was like my first real, what I could consider my first real fight. And I watched the video from time to time, and I think I've come a long way, but it wasn't that bad. He definitely had the best of me on the boxing, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say that James is he's very fit. He does CrossFit. He uses his right cross a lot. Just have to watch out for that. But then after that, I think am I right in saying I think it was 2014 May when we had our Chelsea Old Town Hall event, which I think James fought in as well, but you fought Toby that event, is that right?
Yeah.
And Toby's obviously your next opponent. How did you find Toby when you fought him the first time?
I think I did a terrible job. I think I came into that fight, he'd actually got to me. Because you have to understand who Toby is. In my context, Toby is the guy that after that fight with James, I come off the stage and obviously I'm buzzing and I'm looking for the evening to be productive now. Like, you know, I'm in a good mood. Let's have a few drinks. Let's have some fun. And the guy I meet is Toby. And Toby's really friendly and he's like, let's have fun. But there's this thing like, well, if you'd have fought against me, I would have definitely knocked you out. And I was like, God, this guy, I like him, but he's a bit of a douchebag. Like, you know, how could you tell me something? How could you destroy my evening? You know. And anyway, the night continues, and I wake up the next morning, and I'm on his couch. You know, because I didn't have a place to stay, so I was just like, oh. And anyway, so we befriend each other, and then next thing I know, Tim is calling me with like, well, how do you feel about fighting Toby? And I was like, well, definitely, I have to, right? I mean, the way he built things up, I kind of can't really back down from it anymore. So anyway, first time I was supposed to get in the ring, I think it was in April, and I had I busted my shoulder.
So you just said that you think Toby's a douchebag. Have you got any other back chat for him?
Don't do too much of a hype thing. I hope I can trust you. This is gonna not be edited in some way where.
I think you said it, mate, not me.
No. I said he did a douchebag move. I didn't say that he was a douchebag. He did a douchebag move, trying to tell me that he'd knock me out when I was just, you know, buzzing with euphoria. But anyway, yeah. Anyway, the first time I had an injury and I had to back out, and then I was like, shit, am I chickening out? So then the second time I accepted the fight in May, when I really didn't think I was that fit, but I said, what the hell, I'm not going to chicken out. And I didn't, and he was getting to me. He was like, yeah, I'm going to knock you out. And it kind of worked. He psyched me out. And then when I was in the ring, I was just kind of walking towards him. And he was like battering me, and I was like, doesn't matter as long as I get inside, the range, and then I'll hold him for a while, and then I'll try and, fight inside. And it kind of worked. I mean, I won. The boxing wasn't convincing at all. But his chess is kind of decent. So I've never really had an easy time at the chess, to be honest.
Okay, a couple of things, Carl. Firstly, yeah. Toby's chess is a lot better than it used to be. I'm telling you, he's a good chess player.
That's actually good for me. You don't realize that.
Yeah.
For me, it's much better that I play a guy who's around 2000 than a guy who's like 1600, 1700.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if Toby's 2000, but compared to what he was, he's a lot better. And he actually beats Nick Cornish chess.
I saw that game.
The second thing is, yeah. I think it was against Toby. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember you doing press ups between moves.
I did, but that came a cool card, and that wasn't me actually who had the idea. It was Anthony, you know, the trainer Anthony.
Yeah.
He didn't actually tell me to do it, but before the fight, he was telling me that some guy, like, while he almost knocked out his opponent, and the ref is counting, this professional boxer. The guy is in his corner. I can't remember who it is. And they're doing push-ups. And it kind of dawned on me, like, you know, I haven't boxed great, but maybe I could do this to liven up the show. And so I did it against him, and I did it against Giuseppe Grasso on the next one. But I'm gonna stop that because I don't know. I kind of grew out. I think at 32, 33, I was still a bit of a kid. Maybe I've grown up a little bit. I don't know.
I haven't experienced about it because it's very entertaining. You're one of the most entertaining fighters on the scene. It's great to have you back. It's a little bit childish, although it is quite funny. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how you get on against Toby now that his chess has improved somewhat. He's also he's slimmed down a bit. He's kind of fitter. Uh-huh. And I'm sure you probably have watched his last fight against Cameron, but he really made the boxing count. He made Cameron make a lot of mistakes in the chess. I'm sure Cameron won't mind me saying that.
Sure. I mean, it's my prerogative, let's say, to not worry too much about the chess. The thing is, I will on D-Day, I will worry about the chess because that's where my ego is. I sent you a mail. I explained all that to you once. It's like, the stressful thing isn't getting battered for me. It's actually losing. Because if I lose, it means either I have been knocked out or I've lost on the chess. And so it's much more, that's where my ego is. So on the day, but theoretically before the fight, I have to kind of assume that if all goes well in the boxing, I'm going to win. And so I'm not too worried about him improving his chess. I mean, hey, if he beats me at chess, I'll shake his hand and, you know, that's great for him. You know, I'm not a hater in any way. For me, it's all about training the boxing and being, you know, in shape on the day. And I know he's strong and I know he doesn't have a fear factor, much like James. I don't know. I come in, I've got stress. And that's one of my main goals in this fight. It's to actually relax as much as possible, like, before the fight, you know, on the hours coming up to the fight, and even once I step in the ring, one of the things that, like, the trainers are telling me in Belgrade is, you know, don't use your nerves as energy. Try to, you know, be technical and just relax as long as you can until you get tired, and then you're going to start panicking anyway. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're all looking forward to the fight. You're fighting for the world light heavyweight title belt. You're headlining. It's going to be a fantastic night. So I think we've covered your fight with Toby now, but I wondered if you were looking forward to seeing anyone else on the card.
I know that, to be honest with you, what I prefer in chess boxing are the lower levels of, not so much the chess. I want the chess to be at least at a minimum. You know, the level of chess. I don't like it when it looks like drafts and then it becomes like the joke sport that, you know, those potential critics, you kind of, you know. But on the boxing side, what I like, for me, what chess boxing is a sport for all those people who would love to box, you know, like on the scene, not just a club level, but they would actually have a night out where they're the rock star of the night. And obviously, they learned boxing as an adult, and they, you know, they weren't then, not like some of the pros who started when they're 6 years old or whatever. And so it gives them the chance to, for me, bringing professionals in the sport is in the long term what's going to kill it. Because, so I'm not too, I know that there's the undercard, the guys are better boxers than I ever will be on the fight just before mine. But see, that is not, for me, that is not, it's not the spirit of chess boxing that I'm looking for. Now, everybody's free to define it, you know, the way they want. But if one of the implications of me getting this belt, if ever I do, is that I would love to develop it here in Serbia. Obviously, if I had a belt, it would be kind of, you know, an access pass. And if I did, I think I would define the rules of, I would maybe limit it to people who have under 25 amateur fights. For it never to get to that technical level, that the total novice, you know, he would have to spend his life in a boxing club to get up to that level. I think that this is what we have to create. It's like more than paint the perfect picture on the night, it has to be more about social science and like getting all those guys who would never be in the ring.
Yeah, so Carl, I think what you're saying is very much reflected in our view in London of what chess boxing should be about. Like, it's entertainment first and foremost. I don't know, did you fight at the Dome? Perhaps you haven't fought at the Dome, because I
never
think you fought at
the Dome. I was a big fan of the Scala, and I'm looking forward to checking out what the Dome is going to be like. But I think it's a smaller venue, right? It's like maximum capacity is like 400, yeah?
Yeah, it's a smaller venue, about 400 people, but we sell it out, pack it out.
Yeah.
It's a real like cauldron of an atmosphere. It's some of the best atmospheres that we've ever had. And those people attending, they want to see exactly what you just described. They want to see people who they can relate to, who have had a few months training, are safe in the ring, but at the end of the day, you know, they're going to be throwing punches, and it's going to be exciting. And well, that's certainly
it all comes down to what Muhammad Ali said, and it was written in my boxing gym in Wales, and I always, when I was passing it, I would always look at it. It was like too attractive to me. The will has to be stronger than the skill. And the problem with today is when you start boxing, if you're a professional at the top, I mean, sure, you have to have a will to get there. But the skill becomes so predominant that you never really see the will. And I think that obviously you have to have some minimum technique, you know, to not be totally, you know, all over the place. But, you know, you have to be able to see, hey, the guy really went for it. You know, that's what we want to see. It's like that normal dude that, you know, I could have a drink in the bar with. He really had to go for it, you know, and that's what I think it has to be all about. And then obviously, you know, anybody could come, any of the professional boxers could come and see me and say, yeah, but I mean, in that case, you're just inventing something for you to be the best at it, because with the chess, you're going to win. And so maybe you have to limit the chess level too. I have no idea. And I'm open to that suggestion. So I think we still have to define what chess boxing should, you know, we have to define the rules a little bit.
You know, I don't think we need to worry about it too much at the moment. We're still a fledgling sport. We're entertaining people. That's the main thing. We're growing our fan base. And I think we know what our fans like. We've got a product that they like. But interestingly, you're talking about, Muhammad Ali's quote. I wonder what he would have thought of the Joshua Ruiz fight, which is obviously being rematched on the same night.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And I think that was kind of what you were talking about. The Ruiz guy. Not that he's a very good technical boxer, very quick, but he doesn't have the image of Joshua. You know, he really took him apart, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens again, frankly.
He killed his spirit. He really did kill his spirit. You could see that Joshua was gone a few rounds before the end. You know, he just wasn't there anymore. So he was trying to stall the fight a little bit, try to like, hang on, well, don't I won't punch you and you don't punch me, and let's just circle each other for a while, you know. But yeah, no, I mean, when I was talking about, like, we have to define the rules, I understand from your perspective. But for me, I think that, like, in the idea of developing it, I think that all these things like world titles, because obviously, you know, we're fighting for a belt, they have to kind of make some sense, and they are a incentive for, you know, people to be more, oh, I could be, you know, I could be a champ, you know. And I think that what we do need, I don't think it's more spectators. I think they will come on their own. I think it's a great night out. I think that isn't the problem. It's like we need more participants, and more participants could mean more events, you know, be it in the UK or somewhere. I think it's just it's necessary to, you know, for the expansion of it. Obviously, you know, I think London Chess Boxing is and WCBA is doing a great job. So, you know, other people have to come in and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say that we've actually recently we've had a real glut of people wanting to fight. We've got people queuing up, which is great. I think a lot of that is down to Matt Reed, who's been running training with Zoe, who's one of the trainers operating out of Islington Boxing Club, who have always been very supportive of us. And yeah, I do feel that side of the sport's growing. We're looking to put on an extra event next year or in the next tranche of events. So we're definitely moving in that direction.
Yeah.
And obviously we've, to plug ourselves a little bit, we've got the live stream now with a production team, which is starting to pay dividends, really high production quality now. So we're hoping once we've sort of refined that our online audience will start to grow as well.
Moving up in the world. Uh-huh.
Hopefully, okay. Yeah. You know, touch wood. I think slowly we've got a very sustainable approach to chess boxing and business in general, and it's starting to show dividends, which is great. So, Carl, just before you go, a standard question, which you probably, perhaps you've even thought I might ask you, what is your favourite chocolate bar?
Well, a difficult one at the moment because I'm trying to suppress all thoughts of chocolate. I guess some kind of Cadbury chocolate orange or something like that.
What, a Terry's chocolate orange?
It's Terry's, right? Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, I think so. It's the one where you like tap it in the middle and it all like falls out into like segments. So,
because the thing is, I was born in the UK, but I grew up in France. And so in France, there's no chocolate bar. I mean, there are chocolate bars, but it's the main ones, and they're huge. You know, they're not. You get like the tablet, but you don't get the small ones right at the counter, sort of thing. You do. I mean, you got Snickers and Mars and all that, I guess. But,
sure, but Terry's chocolate orange is like a good half kilo of chocolate. I mean, that's quite a lot of chocolate.
No, but it was like it was associated with Christmas. Like my mum would go over to the UK, and she would bring back a whole load of VHS and food from Marks and Spencer's, and so that would be like once a year I'd be able to get my hands on a chocolate orange. So I mean, you're asking me a question. I'm turning up with a story about my childhood.
I mean, hopefully you'll get to have a few chocolate oranges at Christmas after your flight. You can indulge a little bit.
I don't know. I'm really, you know what? I've always been 3 months into training, 100%, like not an ounce of fat, anything. I mean, obviously the odd. And then I would do 3 months of just binge eating, drinking and everything. And I stopped drinking in May for my birthday. Like I won't say I didn't have a sip of alcohol. But I haven't been like I haven't had more than two beers, and maybe that happened twice. So I'm hoping that I'm going to manage to just stay on track, and you know, not drink maybe the odd chocolate orange like twice a year, but just really stay on track and not fall, like, you know, go up and down like a roller coaster. It's just Well, there is one thing. I mean, no, because you asked me about Serbian boxing scene, and okay, I don't really know much to say about that, but I did want to say something about, you know, the context of chess boxing. And because I was looking for a club next to my house, and boxing isn't huge in Serbia. You know, it's like, I think a lot of people are tall, so they go more for like the kickboxing if they do. But they're much more like team sports, like water polo is big here, basketball, obviously football. But there isn't a huge boxing scene. And you go to most of these clubs and lots of frustrated people, you know, very difficult to find a sparring partner who won't just try to beat the hell out of you immediately. So I found this one club, not too, you know, like 20 minute walk, and the guys are friendly, and it was a bit more expensive than the others, but I was like, you know, and there was a lot of cardio boxing going on, so it wasn't like the sweat, it wasn't the eye of the tiger stuff. I was like, you know, that's good. I don't want to wake up and be in fear. I'll just go there a lot. And anyway, long story short, I tell them about chess boxing, because they were already looking up my on Box Rec, like, where are you? I can't see you. And I'm like, no. I'm a chess boxer. And they're like, oh yeah. And so they get out, they say, oh, can you bring a chessboard to the club? I said, yeah. So I find like this crap, you know, the one I don't mind losing a pawn or two on. I bring it to the club, they install a table next to the ring, and the chessboard has been there ever since. And it's like people are playing. And awesome. Like the boss of it, he's like nonstop. One of the trainers has now got an account on chess.com, sending me mails like, I don't understand what I did wrong in this game. Could you check? You know, like a few of them are like obsessed with it. And I think it really does. I mean, the feedback that I'm getting here is just amazing. It's like each person I talk to is like, that is amazing. I want to do it. So,
that's so great. Yeah, we'll have to get some people over for some of our events. If you get any keen,
obviously,
you want to do chess boxing, then we'll definitely sort that out.
Yeah. I know. It's like, well, you just told me that, you know, people are queuing up now a little bit. So, okay, but definitely we can have fighters from over here come over there. They'll be very happy to, and we could also, I mean, I want to create events. If anything, if I saw myself, you know, in like a year, I would be the Gavin Patterson of Belgrade. You know, I'll be the Tim Walker and the Gavin Patterson. I'll do like a fusion, like a Dragon Ball Z kind of.
Well, it's a date, Carl. If you sort out an event next year, we'll come. I'll bring the board, all the technical stuff. We'll put on a joint event. On the podcast, it's all on record now. Thanks very much for coming on the podcast. Thanks for agreeing to fight. We really can't wait to see you back here in London.
I'm curious. Do you know what? Normally, I'm stressed before fights. Now, honestly, I've done all the training, and it's like, well, I've done it. You know, we'll just see what happens. And I'm really curious to see what I'm going to give in the ring. And so, and it's a great approach, because I can stay relaxed and just say, well, you know, if it don't work, it doesn't work. And if it does, well, great, you know.
Yeah. And if you want to see Carl fight, you can get tickets for our event on the 7th of December at londonchessboxing.com. You can also watch the whole fight live on twitch.tv/londonchessboxing. So, Carl, very much looking forward to hosting you next month. And thanks again for coming on the podcast.
It's been a while that I've been wanting to be on the podcast. I see everybody else on it, and I'm like, well, hang on, you know, they forgot about me.
Hello, I'm the ouch. It's the ouch here.
I'm the ouch.
Yeah.
I even okay. Send messages, and then they stay like waiting for moderation forever. I'm like, ah, you know, I can't get into the podcast.
Well, what we'll do is we'll try and get you on the podcast afterwards, so we can take a retrospective look at your fight as well.
Okay, with a few teeth less like that, you know, maybe I have a different voice.
That's it from us for another couple of weeks. We hope to see you at the event. If not, we'll see you in a couple of weeks for the next podcast. Thanks very much.
Looking forward to it. Take care.